the Lord God Almighty. Because that is who you are, Lord. You are holy, and you are righteous, and you are kind, and you are merciful, Lord. You are the Lion and the Lamb. You never fail, Lord. You stay the same, Lord. Thank you, Father, this morning that we can celebrate who you are. We can say thank you, Lord, that we can be your children, and thank you, Lord, that we can come together and say, Lord, we want to meet with you. We want to see your name lifted high, Father. We're living for you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we can know you. Thank you, Father, that we can come to you. Thank you, Lord, that we are never, never alone, but that you are constantly and forever with us. And we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you. We thank you. We exalt you. You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart you, God, will not despise. Just keep our eyes closed. I feel there's people here this morning, and that describes you. You feel like you're broken. And the Lord says in his word that he will not despise you. In fact, that is what he's looking for. For us to come just as we are, to come with that brokenness, we've come with that contrite spirit. Come and sit by him and be filled with who he is. If you are here this morning and as I'm reading that, you don't even understand that or know what I'm talking about, because you feel your heart is actually so hard, you cannot even understand what it means to be broken, or your spirit to be broken. And I feel the Lord wants to come and take that hardness away this morning, so that again, you can come with a broken spirit and a contrite spirit. So just where you are, just ask the Lord this morning to come and break the hardness. Because his Holy Spirit comes through the hardness, and he wants to speak to your heart this morning. But we have to allow him and say, Lord, take away these things that I place between you and me. Lord, because today, this morning, I want to hear your word. And I don't just want to hear it, Lord. I want it to transform me. So just where you are, allow the Lord to speak into your heart. Allow him to come and say, Lord, come and have your way this morning. Lord, I didn't come for what I want, but I came for what you want. Let's just surrender our hearts to the Lord. Feel there's even someone that there's something in your heart, it's sitting there, and the Lord says, just take it out. It's not supposed to be there. It's keeping you from actually hearing what he has for you. Now, I don't have an idea what that is, but you will know. Just give that thing that you know is in your heart that shouldn't be there, just surrender it before the Lord. Just give it to him, just as where you are. Oh, Father, thank you, Lord, for who you are. And Father, thank you, Lord, that in you there's freedom, in Jesus' name. And we thank you for that, that we today are actually free, Lord, because we are in you. So we thank you for that freedom, Lord. And thank you, Father, as we come this morning, we don't come to hear words of man, Father, but Lord, we say we seek and we hunger, Lord, for your words, Lord. to transform us, Lord. Father, come and have your way. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done here this morning. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you so much. You may take a seat for those who are not seated yet. Thank you so much, Jerusha. Those words. I don't think I have to preach this morning because we sang the whole sermon. So we can actually just have another session. Then it's actually not about us, no. It's about Jesus. So thank you so much. I think your voices go together quite well. It's the first time I've heard that, so that was beautiful. Spring is in the air, but I'm wearing Sokoso. What is this thing? Stockings. So I don't know what's happening in Durban because this morning I'm like, what should I wear? What's going on with the weather? But you all look like you're in the springtime. It's always like springtime with you. Anyways, I'm excited to be here this morning and excited what the Lord wants to do and what he wants to speak to us about. Because what I realized this morning is that, we can say a lot of things, isn't it? And we can do a lot of things and we can know all the right ways. But if we don't allow the Spirit to come and work in our hearts, nothing's going to happen. So this morning's not about what I say or what clothes I'm wearing, stockings and all of that, but it's about the Spirit working in our hearts and us allowing him to come into our hearts and work in us, isn't it? So what we're doing, we're talking about, can power be incorruptible? We're starting the series today, a three-part series, so I'm starting it. I think Mona said I must just start it and he will finish it for us. So hopefully if I don't speak the right stuff, he will. So just bear with us. So talking about, can power be incorruptible? Now, that is quite a challenging word if someone says to you, can power be incorruptible? And to preach about it, especially if you're Afrikaans and you don't know what incorruptible means. And that's, what are we going to do now? So for those of you that are like me, very Afrikaans, incorruptible just means that it's everlasting, like it will not fail. It's power that lasts, okay? Does it make sense? Well, that's how I understand it. If you ask someone who's English, they might give you a different interpretation. Who is incorruptible? And whose power is incorruptible? Jesus. So me standing here this morning and asking that question, can be power be incorruptible? It seems to me like I have to start with the answer. And the answer is yes, power can be incorruptible, the power in Jesus, who Jesus is, because that power is incorruptible and there's nothing that compares to that power. Nothing can compare to Jesus. He is the everlasting, and the thing about who Jesus is that he saved us with that power. He set us free. He took us from darkness into light. We sang about it the whole time this morning. I don't know if you've noticed how we were dead and now we are alive. How we were stuck in our sin, and how God has set us free. Jesus has set us free through the power of the cross. The power in the blood of Jesus by dying for us on the cross. And you know what? Nothing can take that power away. There's nothing that can compare with that power. So for us to ask that question this morning, can power be incorruptible? Yes. Why? How? Through Jesus. And for that, we can celebrate. I feel like jumping, but I shouldn't. There's nothing like that. Why are we not celebrating that? Why are we not so excited about that power? Let me give you an idea why we're not so excited about that power. It's because we do not realize or we forget who we are. We forget who we are. And who are we? We're the church, we are people, all of that. But we are sinners. Every one of us, we are sinners. And that is a thing that we so often forget. We are sinners. Do you know what David says in Psalm 51? He says, from my mother's womb, I was in sin. In other words, he understand from the day that he was born that he was a sinner. He realized that after he'd committed great sin in his life. And when he came to that realization that actually, I've been a sinner from birth, he realized, what did he realize? That he needs a savior. He needs this power that is incorruptible. Now, if we do not realize that we are sinners, we don't have no need for this incorruptible power of Jesus Christ. Not now, not tomorrow, not in any moment we need Jesus because we've got it. We don't need the power that's incorruptible. If we don't realize that we are sinners, we think that we can actually do it out of our own. We can do it in our own strength. We can do for whatever. We don't realize that we need that power that is incorruptible to save us from our sins and from the darkness and from eternal damnation. Is that true? Do you agree with me? You're very quiet. Oh, am I still in track? Okay, amen. Praise the Lord. We have to realize again who we are. We have to come to that place where we realize that we are sinners and we are in need of a Savior. Now, if we look at today, we can see that we want power, isn't it? Yo, I want to be the next biggest this, or I just want power over people here, or I want to be the greatest in this area. There's a need for us to have power. Now, can I give you just a little bit of glimpse that where is that power or that need for power coming from, or what is actually the root of it? Is that actually we are just interested in people to notice us. Think about that. Why do you do what you do? Why is it so important to get to that next big thing? Or to rule, or have position, or power. Many times, maybe most of the times, it is for us to be noticed by others. I was thinking about it. Say I was on an island on my own. Woohoo! Never been on an island. Oh, I have. No, I haven't. Anyways, Robben Island. Does that count? Anyways, so now I'm on my island on my own. Am I going to want to be the next biggest thing? On that island? No, because I'm on my own. There's no one that's going to see it. No one's that's going to notice me. So many times what we do is because we want people to notice us, or we are interested in what they think about us. Now, I've heard people say, I don't care what people think about me. Have you heard that? Many times that even comes from our hearts that is actually just prideful and really care. Or what but people think about us. So what's the answer this morning? Well, we realize Jesus is incorruptible power. We realize that we are sinners. And we realize that our need is to be noticed. Yeah? But let's change our focus. Woohoo! We need to change our focus. And this is the beauty of it. Let's change our focus from wanting to be noticed by man to be noticed by God. Doesn't that just swing a whole lot of things around? If you step into this world and whatever you do, you're like, I am not doing it for men to be noticed by men, but I want to do it to be noticed by God. A lot changes. A lot changes in our hearts and a lot changes in our circumstances. Even the way we look at things changes. Now, that's an easy thing to say. You know, we want to live to be noticed by God, but what does it look like? What does God notice? That's maybe a good question to ask. Because I don't think it's us being all powerful and the richest person on earth. And having even the biggest church. That's not what God notices. And I can prove it this morning through the word. The first thing. Cindy, are you still with me? I haven't done anything, so don't worry. I'm not going with that one, but good idea. Mark 10:43 says, "But it shall not be so among you, but whoever would be great among you must be your servant." That's a good start to be noticed by God. This is actually Jesus who said this. He said, "But it shall not be so among you, but whoever would be great among you," which we all want, "you must be your servant." Now, what is a servant? Well, if you go to the dictionary, it says someone that is seen serving. I'm like, wow, that helps me a lot. Someone that is seen serving. But for us, someone that is seen serving for God. Do you know what we do? We come to church and we hear these awesome sermons, and I'm not saying anything about the sermons are bad, that we have to serve. Now, the thing about serving is now we think this is what a Christian is. I must serve. So we work very hard at it, but we work hard at it so that people will see that we are serving. But if we are true servants, we not serve for people. We serve for God. Ultimately, I'm telling you, you are going to serve people. But that is not going to be your aim to serve people. Your aim is serving God. Be a servant in His house. For Him to see that you serve. Amen? Amen. Second point. Matthew 23 verse 11. The greatest among you. It's the same thing. The greatest among you shall be your servant. So just to say, there's more scriptures like that. What I wanted to say is Mark 10:44. And whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. Sure. Again, wanting that first position, that power, that place of authority, of influence, must be slave of all. Now, please don't all run out now, because we sing, "I'm no longer a slave," but that's to fear. Yeah. Talking about slave here is talking to Christ. We forget that. We are slaves for Christ. What does it mean to be a slave? It means that I will do whatever my master says. I don't know if we are there. It's easy to say, "Okay, Lord, I'll go wherever you want me to." Pakistan, I know my friend always had these dreams of going to Pakistan, you know. But then, maybe the Lord asks us, "Get your mother-in-law to come and live by you, had a broken hip, and look after her." Oops, now I don't want to do everything anymore. Whatever, Lord. Being a slave, saying, "Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do." It's not always the big things. That is what God notices. What's the third thing? Matthew 18, verse 1 to 3. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them and said, "Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." I skip Mark 9, verse 34. And he sat down and called the 12, and he said to them, "If anyone would be first, he must be last of all and servant of all." Now, when he called the disciples, the thing is, they also wanted to be the greatest. If you read the word, they really had a desire to be the greatest. They were even fighting among themselves about who will be the greatest or who will have the seat of honor with Jesus. And Jesus didn't come and say, "Hey, you know, get right." He said to them, "Listen here, let me just redefine to you what greatness is if you come to me like children." Now, children in those days are not like today where they get everything they want. And that's not everyone is like that. But they were really unimportant. They could not do anything. They could not add to society in any ways. So they were not seen as important. So what Jesus is pointing out here is the not important. Be like children. That's the one who is first. The servant of all. Now, I read a commentary on this. The guy's name is Leon Morris. And I just have to read you the whole thing. what is said about this peace in Scripture. He says, the kingdom of heaven is not like earthly kingdoms. In earthly kingdoms, military might or earthly wealth is what counts. It is the ability to overthrow others or to outsmart them or outbid them that matters. The person who asserts himself is the one who gets on. But Jesus' kingdom is quite different. Paradoxically, English, it is the person who is like the little child who is the greatest. Being in the kingdom does not mean entering a competition for the supreme place, but engaging in lowly service. He goes on later and says, in kingdoms on earth, those who outdo others advance. In the kingdom of God, those who undo self is exalted. That is what God notices. He's not looking for our positions or our powers or our abilities. Do you agree with me that we have to change our focus from being noticed by man to being noticed by God and what it means to be noticed by God? And trust me, there's more. I'm just touching on a few of them this morning. But I don't know if we can handle more than these few. Is to be a servant? I serve for Christ's sake. To be a slave, to say, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. And to come like a little child, where I don't see myself as anything, but I come as I am. Who's the perfect example of this? Jesus. So if you didn't fall for that, then you can see that Jesus did this. When he came to earth, he demonstrated this to us. Let me read to you Philippians 2, verse 5 to 9. Have this mind among you yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God as thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name. Can you see that Jesus was a servant? He was a slave because he went to the point of death. He said to the Lord, whatever, not my will be done, but your will be done. And he didn't look at himself as important. This week at intercession, we're praying, and I'm on my knees, and I think we were like five standing in a circle, and the next moment, I feel someone walking in the middle of the circle. And I know not one of the people is moving. And I'm like, oh, okay. And I feel the next moment that it's Jesus that just walked through this circle. And now I'm already, because I realize it's Jesus, I'm already having this picture in my mind of how he should look like. And the glory must fill this room and it must be amazing because that is who Jesus is. But the picture I see is Jesus standing in his normal robes and praying with us. I expected Jesus in all his glory, and he showed to me that, you know what? I'm a servant and I'm praying with you. When I walk into this room, I don't see myself more important than any of you. Although I am. Although I'm King of Kings and Lord of Lords and I can do anything, I come to pray with you. That is who Jesus is. And that is who I also want to be. Why? Because I want to be noticed by God. I don't want to be noticed by people. I want to live for God. I don't want to live for people. A few weeks ago, I was tired. Yo, I was exhausted. And I went down to Cape Town and I got there. Now, when you're very tired, you're very emotional and you somehow get very offended also. Just throw it in there, just for fun. So I got there and I was sitting on my bed and a message came through and someone was telling me, you know, what I've done wrong and how bad I am and, you know, that kind of thing. And reading it, I'm like angry, upset, very sad, I don't know if you ever experienced emotions like all of them at the same time and you have no idea what to do and it feels like you can just kick something or throw something against the wall or whatever. So I sat there and I prayed. I said, Lord, what does it do now? I feel like a fool. And soft words came. The Lord said to me, I did not come for the righteous. I came for the sinners. And I realized in that moment that I was so concerned about what the people were thinking. That I was actually living for them and how they see me and how they notice me instead of how God noticed me. God didn't come for us who can earn our own salvation or work it out or be good in everyone's eyes. No, he came for the person who is nothing. We realize the need for a Savior, that I cannot do anything without you, Lord. And that day I realized I'm more concerned with what people think. You know what? Like stuff fell from me. Because I realized it's more about Jesus. And I fell into that trap where I'm more concerned about what people think. And I said, Lord, okay, you have to help me to be the sinner again. Because when I'm a sinner, I don't think that I'm better than someone else. Why? Because we're all sinners. If we really believe that we are sinners, every day we are in need of a Savior who leads us and shows us. But anyways, I'm sitting on my bed and I say to the Lord, well, that's good, Lord. I want to be a sinner. But what do you want from me? Don't you sometimes feel like that? I'm sitting on my bed. I'm like, but what do you want from me? And I hear the Lord saying to me, please me. The Lord is looking to us for us to please Him, God. Now, it sounds very easy. But when we come to that place and say, Lord, I want to please you, a lot of things change in our lives and in our hearts. Now, don't expect you to change like that. I definitely didn't. But I realized that my focus has to change again from pleasing people and stuff and say, Lord, I want to please you. Do you know what? That doesn't always look like we think it should look. Sometimes it looks like I have to stand here and I have to give you a message. But we want to please God in whatever we do. So even for me standing here this morning, it's not about what I want. But say, Lord, I want to please you, so you come and do this. You do your work, Lord. Come and show your power, that incorruptible power to the world. That is how I want to please you. Now, I have some good news also. Not that that wasn't, but just to, you know, give you some other word here this morning. There was a guy, and he really served the Lord and he loved the Lord. And then he messed up. Okay, he had an affair. The lady got pregnant. And then he tried to cover it up, but that didn't work. And then he killed her husband. So we know who that is. That's David in the Bible. He messed up big time. But he loved the Lord. Do you know what he did when he realized, when Nathan came to him and said to him, hey, you've messed up. He didn't say it like that. He came very nicely with a story and everything. But when he realized that he messed up, he said, I have sinned against the Lord. For us coming to that place where we realize that we are sinners, we also realize that when we sin, we not sin against people, we sin against the Lord. David realized that although he sinned against Uriah or whatever his name was, and Bathsheba and all of them, he sinned against the Lord first. Who's that guy? Can't remember his name now. But he said, like, the first commandment, honor the Lord your God. No, you shall have no God before you. Just the Lord, God. He's first, everything. Okay? If anyone wants to help me with that, that's okay. Only the God you will serve, one God. That scripture actually summarizes the rest of the commandments. Because whenever you break one of the other commandments, you break the first one because you're not putting God first. So when we sin against God. And David realized this. But why did David also realize that he came and said, I am a sinner? Okay, he didn't realize that. He did that. I am a sinner. What do we do? I sinned, but it was actually that one's fault. You know, I sinned, but if it wasn't for my granddad, with his iniquities in my family line, I would never have done that. I sinned because this and this and this and this. No, no, no. If we don't realize and take responsibility for our sin, we're not going to get freed from it. Take full responsibility. Come as we are, and guess what? The Lord welcomes us. Because as I read this morning, he says, a broken and a contrite spirit I will not despise. What's the other thing that David did? He returned to God. He didn't just realize I'm a sinner and now I'm feeling so sorry for myself because I messed up. What is that anyways? I'm getting distracted from my sermon. But what is that anyways, feeling sorry for yourself when you messed up? You don't hate your sin. You hate the consequences of sin. Feeling sorry for yourself when you messed up is that you are sorry for the consequences of your sin because you're like, oh no, how am I looking now? You don't hate the sin that you just committed. If you hated the sin, you will run to God and say, Lord, I'm so sorry. I hate that thing. Am I returning to you? But when we've realized we've messed up and we're feeling so sorry for ourselves, then usually we're more aware of the consequences of sin than actually the sin. God is calling us to a place, guys, where we hate the sin. Why? Because we're sinning against him. So if you have that relationship with the Lord, where everything is for him and you're pleasing him, you will hate the sin in your life because you will know you are sinning against him. I've lost my story, but I'll return to my notes. Before I say that, all those three things, servant, slave, coming like a child, being lost, what do we see in that? We see humility, isn't it? Humility and walking in the fear of God. That is what it means to please God. That is what God notices. Walking in the fear of God and pleasing him. Now sin doesn't realize anything, but when David realized that he has sinned, go read Psalm 51. It is incredible. You will be transformed. He starts with this. He says, I'm coming to you because of your mercy and your unfailing love. How incredible is that? That we serve a God, no matter how we've messed up, that God's love stays the same for us. And if we realize that we are sinners and we come to him, he's a covenant God who takes us back and we can come with boldness to him no matter what we've done. David just killed a guy. He did adultery. He tried to cover it. He lied. You know, he did so many things wrong, but he can come to the Lord not saying, I'm so sorry, I messed up. No, he says, I'm coming to you, Lord, because of your mercy and your unfailing love, because you are a covenant God who will not change. And that is the power that is incorruptible. That is the love of Christ that sets us free every time. So we realize Jesus is incorruptible power. We realize that we are sinners in need of a Savior. We need to realize that. We realize that we must be servants, slaves, lost, like children, amongst how many other things. But some of the things that God notices, and not for man, but for God. And we realize that we must walk in the fear of the Lord and humbly. I've got many scriptures about that. If you want to check on me, you can come and see it afterwards. Must humbly before the Lord. That is what he longs for. It's for us to walk humbly with our God in Micah 6. And then we realize that we have to return to the Lord no matter what. I don't know, we don't have many parents in the house. Well, there's a few. But if your child messes up, do you want them to run somewhere else or to you? And we are like that. We are children of the Most High who know that we are loved by God. So I want to tell you something today. Not only are we sinners, we are loved sinners. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for that. That is why I can come to God, because of His grace. Because I'm a sinner, yes, but I'm a loved sinner. And that is why I can go like boldly in whatever circumstances I go, because I'm a loved sinner. I'm not unworthy. Yes, no, I am. I am unworthy, but I'm also so confident in what God has done. And we have to have that combination. We cannot just be unworthy because we're like that all the time. And we cannot just have confidence because then we're going to live for the world and the stuff in this world. No, we have to know that we're unworthy, but also be so confident in coming to God. He says it's because of the grace of God that we can come into His throne room. Great. So that is what we know this morning. If we can leave here today and know that we are loved sinners, our lives can start to change, and we can really start to say, Lord, I don't want to please people, I want to please You, because Lord, You are the one with the incorruptible power, and I want to make that incorruptible power known. I don't know about you, but there's people that need to know this stuff, not just stuff, the truth, because it will change their lives as it did mine, and I want their lives to be changed, just as mine changed. My life didn't just change in a moment. It changes every day as I walk with this God that is full of mercy and His unfailing love. You know what? That is how I must look at the person next to me also. They're also a loved sinner just as I am. In other words, I cannot think that I'm better than them. Not for one moment. Let's get to that place where we love the person next to us as we love God. That is His commandments. Because we all loved sinners. Amen? How am I working on time? Are you still awake? Can I tell one more story? Okay. So in Revelation, there's this picture of a city. I'm skipping over so many scriptures. But Revelation 18 is the city of Babylon. I don't know if you've read that. It's an incredible city. A man-made city. And man thought, yo, we've got this. We built the greatest city ever. You know? I sometimes get like this. I've got this. Built the greatest city ever. Guess what? In 1 hour, that amazing man-made city was destroyed. In 1 hour. We build our own stuff. It's not going to last. Then we read of another city. The New Jerusalem in Revelation 21. Now this city is quite different. Just to give you an idea, I mean, we cannot even fathom this. 2,200 kilometers wide. Now where's that to, not even Kimberley, past Kimberley, what's Namibia? And 2,200 kilometers wide. Long, wide, long, those two. But listen to this. 2,200 kilometers high. Okay, so now we're talking about a different kind of city, yeah. There's gates in this city. The gates are made of a pearl. Now I'm like thinking, yo, I wonder if this gate is the whole wall, because then it's 2,200 kilometers long, this pearl. I mean, can you fathom that? The walls is made of out of jewels, different kind of jewels. And it's like also, I don't know how many feet wide, thick, I mean. And then it goes on about how incredible this city is and how the glory of God is seen in the city. Now that is something that God made. Are we living for our power and our things and what we want, or do we want God's incorruptible power? Well, if I have to choose, I'll go with the second one. With that one. It's not about me or what I can build or the power that I can have, but living to please the God who is on high, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And I know in today's days, we find that difficult to do because there's so much stuff happening around us. But do you know why David fell into sin? Why did he fall into adultery? Because firstly, he was in spiritual adultery. He moved away from the Lord. And that's a man who loved the Lord. So I want to say to you today, don't think you're something unless you fall. The Lord is looking for us to be humble, walking in the fear of the Lord. I have to remind myself of that every single day. Otherwise, I get into hardness, I get into pride, I get into so many things. Probably not every single day, probably like every single hour. How do I talk to people? Many times I think I'm better than them. Many times. But thank you, Lord, for your grace. That we can come and say, Lord, change me. When I read the word in the mornings and in the evenings or whenever, I say, Lord, show me Jesus and more, show me where my heart is at. But let's do the same with this. Let's allow the Spirit to come and move in our hearts. And I'm telling you, this is not to condemn us and to say like we're bad sinners. It's to rejoice and to return to God. This is the word. This is the people that the world is looking for. The world is looking for people, the real love. What is real love? Where's the love? What is our thing? Where's the love? Well, it's not about us, but it's about God and pleasing Him. We will see people run to the fountain of living water when we start to please God. And that is having God first in your life. It's to turn to Him, where He's your everything. There's nothing above Him. Like I said, the first commandment. Okay, amen. Let's close our eyes. Thank you, Father, that we this morning can rejoice in who you are, Lord. Father, thank you, Lord, that we realize that we are but nothing, Lord. We are but nothing. But we are so loved. We are so loved, Father. So thank you, Lord, that you love us and nothing people. Lord, that you came and you gave yourself to us, Father. And because of that, Lord, we can know power that is incorruptible, Lord. We can know a love that sets us free, Lord. We can know a truth that sets us free, and we as people will never ever be the same again. So Father, we thank you, Lord, today for that incorruptible power, Lord, who is in Jesus Christ, and we rejoice in it, Father. And I pray, Lord, where we're not seeing it yet, that you will open our eyes, Lord. Where we have not tasted and seen that the Lord is good, Lord, that you will come and restore that to us, that we will return to you as a hungry people. And Father, this morning, firstly, what we want to do is we want to say, Lord, we repent of thinking that we are not sinners anymore, but that we are righteous in our own eyes. And we want to come as a church and say, Lord, we are so sorry, Lord, of forgetting who we are. We're so sorry forgetting, Lord, that we are sinners, Lord, in need of a Savior. Not just a once off, but every day, Lord, we are in need of a Savior. So Father, we repent. We repent, Lord, of thinking that we are better than others. We repent, Lord, of all the things we do daily, Father, and we say, we are sorry that we have forgotten that we are sinners. We give it to you, Lord, this morning, this hardness, those things, Lord, that is built up in our hearts. We surrender it to you this morning. And Father, we pray and we thank you and we adore you and we worship you for your love, Lord. Thank you for your love. Thank you, Lord, that you never leave us nor forsake us. No matter where we've been, no matter what we've done, Lord. Thank you that you never leave us nor forsake us, Lord. Thank you for your love. And today we declare and we say, Father, that this church, Father, every person here wants to be a loved sinner and wants to be known as a loved sinner. Not as a righteous know-it-all. We are saved by grace through faith, Father, and we rejoice in that this morning. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy, Lord. We rejoice in you, Father. We rejoice in you. We rejoice in you, Lord. We rejoice in you. Just where you are, just speak to the Lord. Speak to whatever's in your heart. Speak whatever comes to mind, whatever thing the Lord is showing you right now. Either if you need to repent or rejoice or just see stuff that you've never seen, allow the Spirit to work in you and show you. Lord, thank you that you show us where we are at, Lord. That we can come with our hearts broken, contrite spirits, Father, and say, Lord, show us, Lord, your way. Show us our heart. Show us where we've hardened. Show us, Lord, where we've forgotten. Father, show us what you want, Lord.